I'm so glad to see you. Some of you I haven't seen for a while, and I'm so glad to see you again this day. It's such a beautiful day. It's such a good day to come together to worship the living God. And you know what? All we have to do is look at the prayer focus and know that there's heaviness and sorrow and heartache around us. But friends, I tell you what, our hope is in heaven. Our hope is in the rock of Jesus. And so in spite of all the things around us, the difficulties that you may be facing, the difficulties that our folks and our prayer focus are facing, our hope is in Jesus, and our hope is in heaven. I hope we don't forget that, even if we feel like we're at our lowest point. I hope we never forget that. I want to invite you again to Matthew chapter 7 in the Sermon on the Mount. It's not going to be on the big screen this morning, so I want to invite you to break open your Bible or get the one in front of you under the chair. Follow along. I'm only going to be reading a couple of three verses, and you know the verses. You've heard them before. You've heard me quote them before, but I want you to see them in Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23. I will be reading from the New Living Translation this morning. Let me admit, before we begin, I know last week's topic, if you were here today, was a little heavy. Jesus, in his teachings in Matthew 7, 13, and 14, challenged us and directed us to choose the narrow gate. Because if we do not choose the narrow gate, we are on the wide path that leads to destruction. I know that's a challenge. If you want to crack those windows, if you're warm, you go ahead and open them up. If you can reach them, there's a handle on them, you go ahead and open up if you're getting warm. It's getting warm in here, at least I am. Turn the fans on too, Sherry, would you please? You know, if it really warms up, someday we'll turn the air conditioner on. If it really warms up. It's not warm here, Chris, is it? It's not warm here yet, is it? If you're from Florida, it's not warm here yet. So I realize that last Sunday's verses from Jesus is a challenge that maybe makes us uncomfortable because we have to choose. We have to choose the narrow gate. And once again, I've skipped over a few verses. I've left those for you. Between 13 and 14 and the ones we're at today, 21 to 23, there's a few verses in there. You can peruse them. You can study them. You can dissect them. You can learn from them. I've jumped to 21 through 23 because today is the consequences of not choosing the narrow gate. And I know these topics are heavy, friends. I know they're serious. But think for a moment about an eternity apart from the Almighty God, the grace, the protection, the provision of God. Think for a moment about a day without God's presence in your life, in the world. And imagine for a moment eternity without God involved. An eternity apart from Him. That is the consequences of not choosing the narrow gate. And so I know these are heavy subjects, and I know they're direct, and I know maybe sometimes they even make us uncomfortable, but eternity is for real. And it's a long time, and eternity apart from God, friends, is no place that we want to be. And so you might say, well, Jim, I already know these verses, and I'm already born again. I've trusted Christ as Lord. I'm walking with Him. Praise be to God for that. Then take these verses, apply them not only to yourself, but pass them on. Because there is a world, friends, we just saw the words of Jesus last week. There is a world that has not chosen the narrow gate. They are still on the wide path, the broad gate. And so take these verses, apply them not only to your own life, but tell them the good news about Jesus, somebody else around you. The scene is Judgment Day. Matthew 7. 21 to 23, New Living Translation. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Those are words of Jesus. You say, what are you saying, Jim? If I cry out to God in repentance and anguish and invite Him to my life, I won't have a part. Now that ain't what He's saying. Pay attention to these three verses here. Listen to what Jesus is saying. Not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and we cast out demons in your name and we performed the many miracles in your name. And Jesus says, but I will reply to you. These that stand at the judgment of God and try to make argument, but God, I went to church. I will reply to you, I never knew you. New Living Translation says, get away from me, you who break God's law. Friends, listen to me, please. I don't mean to be harsh. I don't mean to be overbearing. But we have a choice to make in life. Time is running out. For you, for I, for humanity. I don't know how long it'll be till the Lord returns, but time is running out. We have a choice to make. And if we have not made it for Jesus Christ, time can run out on us at any moment. We see that on a weekly basis. Time is up for people. And if we haven't decided to enter in at the narrow gate, if we haven't decided to embrace Jesus Christ as Lord, we are going to hear the words, I never knew you. Please contemplate those words for a moment. Are those the words we will hear at judgment day? Depart from me, I never knew you. Jesus says here clearly in this verse, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. What is he saying? Jesus gets to the heart of discipleship now. We've been talking about being a follower of Jesus these several months as we've gone through the Sermon on the Mount. We've been talking about being a follower. We've been talking about being a disciple. Jesus gets to the heart of discipleship here. And he says becoming a true follower of Christ requires a decision to enter in at the narrow gate. A decision to repent of our sin, to trust Him as Lord, to embrace Him as Messiah, and to follow Him as Master. That's what He's asking us to do, friends. That's what He's asking people, young and old, black and white, all over the world to do. Repent of our sin, embrace Him as Master, and follow Him as Teacher and Lord. Not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, he says, will enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, let's break it down for today's terminology. Not everybody that sits in church will be part of heaven. You say, Jim, you got to be kidding me. Look at what Jesus says here. Not everybody that says a few Bible verses, says an occasional prayer, even believes in God, will enter the kingdom of heaven, he says. But him and her that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Just because I've heard this, I can't tell you how many times. Jim, I'm a pretty good person. Just because I quantify myself as a pretty good person does not qualify me for heaven. That's what Jesus is saying here. Not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, because we might have an intellectual head knowledge about God. You know people, I know people, maybe it's you. I believe in God, but you have never embraced Him. You have never embraced His Son. You have never repented of your sin and said, God, I'm a lost, I'm a sinner. I need Christ as Savior. There is a difference. That's why Jesus says, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. At some point, friends, we must be born again. We don't have time to turn to John 3:3 today, but you can read all about that. John 3:3, John 3:5. Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless you are born of the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. At some point, we must be reborn in our spirit. We must, as Jesus said, find out for ourselves what is the will of the Father. Not everybody that says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, he says, but only those who do the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? To repent of sin. We must start with repentance of sin. We are separated from God by sin. We must start with repentance of sin. You say, "Jim, I'm not that bad." We must start with repentance of sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What is the will of the Father? To trust Christ as Lord. What does that mean? Believe He is the Messiah. Believe He is the Savior of the world and of for me. Believe that He is the Son of God. Believe that He died on the cross for me. And it's only my faith in Him that's going to save. That is the will of the Father. What else is the will of the Father? Follow the Master. These entire three chapters, He has told us what it looks like to be a disciple. And He says, but only him and her that do the will of my Father. He just got done telling us for three chapters what is the will of the Father. To follow the Master. Jesus gives us a little old glimpse of Judgment Day in that verse. But Lord, we cast out demons. The Pharisees did some of that, you know, in their day. I don't know how they did it, but Jesus spoke about that. But Lord, we prophesied in your name. Or to today's terminology, but Lord, we went to church some. But Lord, I was pretty good to my neighbor. I even gave a little bit to the church once in a while. But Lord, I said all along, I believe there was a God out there someplace. He gives us a glimpse of Judgment Day when people are standing there saying, but God. And His answer is, I never knew you. You know, James talks about in James 2:19, people tell me all the time, "Jim, I believe in God," but have we taken that belief from here to here? Have we taken that belief and applied it to our heart and say, "I am a sinner who needs a Savior, and Jesus is the only one that can save me. I trust in Christ. I repent of my sin." Have we taken that head knowledge and applied it to our heart? James said in 2:19, "You believe in God, that's good. That's good. The devil does too." That's only the start. Just because, friends, we say that we believe in God does not mean we have decided to follow Jesus. There's a difference. I can say I believe in God and have not decided to enter in at the narrow gate. I have not decided to become a disciple of Jesus. Friends, listen to me. I'm going to close so we can go to communion. "I never knew you" doesn't necessarily mean He never knew who you were. He never knew your substance. He never knew your background. He never knew your history. Doesn't mean He never knew about you. What it means is we never took the time to come to know Him as Lord and Savior. We never took the time to surrender our agenda to His. We never took the time to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and love our neighbor as ourselves because we were too busy with ourselves. "I never knew you" means that you never got to know me, God says to us. Let me just say, friends, God is a God of love and mercy and forgiveness. He loves you. He loves people. He sent Christ to die for us. We're going to celebrate that in communion in just a moment. To atone once and for all for our sin. God did that for us. But we must receive the gift of God called Christ. We must embrace the idea, the fact by faith that Jesus is the Messiah and I need Him to be saved. We must embrace Him and be born again. I just want to say, friends, Judgment Day is coming. And I can assure you, you don't want to wait till Judgment Day to start your debate with God. You don't want to wait till you stand before the judgment seat of the Almighty and wonder, will I hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," or will I hear the words, "Depart from me, I never knew you"? You don't want to wait till that day and wonder what will the message be. You say, "Jim, how can I know?" Oh, I love the simplicity of 1 John 5:12 that says, "He that has the Son has life." S-O-N. He that does not have the Son does not have life. He's talking about eternal life with Him. Friends, have you entered in at the narrow gate? Have you taken that head knowledge to know about God and embraced it and accepted Christ, the gift of God, as Savior and Lord, repenting of all sin and embracing Christ as Lord? Because if we have never done that, Jesus said the only words we will hear when we close our eyes in death are, "Depart from me, I never knew you." It's the only words. There will be no place for argument. There will be no place for debate. That's all we will hear. And I ask you today, friends, have you made the choice to acknowledge Christ as Lord? Have you repented of sin? Have you embraced Christ? Have you invited Him into my life and said, "Thank you, God in heaven, for sending Jesus for me. I need Him to be my Savior. I recognize I can't do a thing on my own to save myself. I need Jesus." Friends, have you done it? Because if you haven't, and eternity starts tomorrow for you, according to what Jesus said, the only words you will hear is, "I never knew you." Friends, please don't delay. If you've never embraced the Lord Jesus Christ, please do not delay.